Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Just like that, second hour is here. Pop by with Hutton Withrow here at outkick.com/watch. Glad you're with us. We'll have Michael Mulvihill, who will join us coming up in about 5 minutes or so. The president of Fox's Insights and Analytics. Can't wait to chat about super high ratings across the board in 2023-24 for NFL, college football, both tournaments and more. Chad, we in the first hour got into Coach John Calipari, who's going to return for his 16th season at Kentucky, and mentioned Mitch Barnhart's statement, the AD just being very bland. Like, you just tell he's just not enthusiastic at all.
Right? It was legitimately just a statement of he's going to return.
Yeah,
that's it. We're not excited about it. He's not excited. It's going to happen.
Well, here is Calipari the day before on his weekly coaches show, and listen to the energy of his pitch for what he wants Kentucky fans to be and lock in with in terms of where his program's headed.
Let me finish on this stuff, Tom. You know, I talked again about the standard that is the standard that I believe in, that I think we can do. But that standard of national titles has been here from Coach Rupp on. And the only thing that I'm saying to all our fans, I'm going to work in our state, work for this program and this university, really work for these young people. And that's my commitment. I'm not changing. 24/7, let's go. Whether it's recruiting, all the stuff that we've got to do. That is a commitment that I give to the fans that I haven't changed. This is like wearing a coat. It never goes away. But I love it. This is what I want. This is what I wanted. This is why I never left. This is it. And now it's, let's come together and let's go do something. Let's do something special. And we can do it. We've done it. Let's do it again.
Come together. Let's do it again. And he throws in there, that's why I never left. He's talking about for the NBA.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, he's reminding everyone, I've had chances to leave.
And now you want me gone.
Coaches love to do that. If they've ever had an offer, if their agent has ever been tickled at all by another school or an NBA team, they love to hold that over the head of the fans when they don't want them anymore. I stayed for you people.
I'm here.
I stayed for you coal miners. And this is the thanks that I get. I could have gone to the NBA and I didn't. Hilarious. Also, you can take a coat off. He said it's like a coat. It never leaves. And I'm thinking, no, you can just take the coat off at any time, Coach, if you wanted to. It's not like your flesh. It's a coat. You put it on.
It's just with me forever.
You put it on and take it off. It's like a coat.
It's buried in it, I guess.
It's with me forever. I'm gonna wear this
coat. It is a lifetime contract.
Yeah, I love the enthusiasm, though. We need Hopkinsville and Bowling Green and Paducah and coal mining country in the
East. Even Louisville. Let's go.
We need Louisville. We need Frankfurt. We're going to the state capital. We need everyone to come together. Unite us. Unite the clans. That is what we need in Kentucky. And they're not going to have that.
Didn't it sound like...
Also, meanwhile, Louisville, Kentucky fans are laughing because no one is liking their coaching search. No Louisville fans are right now either. So, bit of a mess in the Commonwealth.
So that hire was not official? What I saw this morning?
Kelsey? They've targeted him? I've not seen official word that he's been hired. I just know that was who they were locking in on earlier today.
Okay.
And people were not happy about that.
Let me double check this. Just because I swore I saw this, but if he had cold feet and backed out of it, Chad. The report is expected to be named.
Which usually means he's going to be named.
Yeah. But if he's not now?
But there's been a big lag time. Usually it's within like an hour or two you get official word.
It's been 3 hours. Expected to be named.
Oh, boy.
That's right. I'd say the same thing about this whole P. Diddy, Sean Combs search looking for him. They rated his Los Angeles and Miami homes earlier this week. And, of course, it's the criminal drug and human trafficking investigation and this ring that he's alleged to be tied to. All the accusations about sexual assault, human trafficking, narcotics, firearms. And they have the drug mule who they've arrested, Brendan Paul.
Former Syracuse guard,
yes, who is trafficking things at the airport. They caught him. And, well, there's more to that story. There he is. There's the mule, Brendan Paul, former 6'2 guard. Played a couple of seasons at Syracuse before he transferred abruptly.
This is not who I'd pick to be the mule.
No.
If I was trying to decide. I would think of someone bigger. He doesn't look like a big guy. I'm thinking of someone larger to be a mule.
Very unassuming.
I've never had to pick a drug mule before, yeah, though, so I don't know. I don't know what you're looking for with a drug mule.
I guess we're not unassuming.
Only P. Diddy knows what he likes in a drug mule.
And they can't find him.
Who are we, Hutton? Who are we to question P. Diddy when it comes to picking out a drug mule?
Yeah, well, can't even find the dude. Just disappeared. Michael Mulvihill, every time he's willing to join us, we'd love the conversation.
We learn something.
Yes, we do. He's Fox's Insights and Analytics President. Great to have you on the show, Michael. Hope things are well.
Yeah, things are going really well. Thanks for having me. As a general rule, if I'm going to do a podcast or a show, I always want to follow the drug mule conversation. Yeah. So
check that off. Yes.
That worked out.
We got it.
You're welcome. We knew that. We knew that going in, so we made sure to tee that up right before you came on.
Hey, the numbers for Narcos were through the roof whenever that debuted. And the numbers for sports right now, Michael, NFL, college basketball, both tournaments, what we've seen across the board from 2023-24, sports is it's popular, it's in, it's trending. What are the reasons specifically for this year with all the numbers hitting record highs?
Yeah, you're right. It has been a great year for sports generally. I always like to try to tout the successes on Fox networks, but I think to be fair, you're seeing incredible stories for college basketball across Fox, and now for March Madness on CBS, Turner, ESPN. NFL season was the biggest ever, biggest Super Bowl ever on CBS. College football season was the biggest ever. I mean, I think there are a couple contributing factors. I think that as people are increasingly going to streaming platforms to watch movies and watch dramatic series, traditional TV, what we sometimes call linear TV, is increasingly taken over by sports and by 24-hour news. So as people are getting their scripted entertainment fix somewhere else, they're coming to traditional TV more for live content, more for the things that you're not going to watch on demand. And that's mostly sports and news. I think if we're being honest about it, the fact that the Writers Association and the Screen Actors Guild were both on strike last summer, that led to a slowdown in production for scripted series television. That possibly pushed more viewership to sports this year. And I think when you look at the sports specifically that are showing increases, on the collegiate side, I think we're just seeing a lot more games being brought to broadcast networks and to the biggest platforms. That's helping. I think in the case of women's basketball, there's just sort of an organic groundswell of interest in women's basketball, at least on the collegiate level. And in the case of the NFL, you know, they're such a smart organization. They are always thinking about how to extract the most viewership and the most strategic benefit out of those 272 games, right? You're seeing that with the news that came out yesterday that there's now a plan to do Christmas Day games this year, even though Christmas falls on a Wednesday. It's just another example of the NFL, like, always thinking through how they can get the most out of their inventory. And I think the product on the field in the case of the NFL is just the most entertaining that it's ever been. So there are different factors across each of those sports, but I think the common thread is just that traditional TV is more and more about live content, and the writers and actors strikes probably only exacerbated that.
Let's talk specifically women's college basketball right now. When Fox enters into a strategic partnership with the Big Ten, there's a lot of benefits to that. And namely, you start thinking about football, which we were just talking about. It's probably not top of mind to think about women's college basketball in the Big Ten as a big ratings grabber, but Michael, that's what it was this past year with the Caitlin Clark effect on games, and Fox saw that firsthand this past season.
Yeah, and it's interesting how that's come about, right? When you do a deal with a college conference, you're probably expecting that 80 to 90% of the value of that deal is going to come from football, and virtually all of the rest will come from men's basketball. And I think what we've found over the last couple of years is that there's all this women's basketball inventory that maybe wasn't aggressively valued when we did the deal. And we were able to see in the viewership trends on Big Ten Network, which we have an ownership position in, we share ownership of Big Ten Network with the Big Ten universities. Just in looking at their ratings, you could sort of see that something was percolating in women's basketball and with Caitlin Clark and Iowa specifically. So it's a good example of us being able to use Big Ten Network as kind of an incubator for sports that may be on the rise and that maybe deserve to be elevated to the bigger platforms. In this case, it's basketball. We did a volleyball match on broadcast this year for the first time. That did pretty well. I think in the future, we'll be looking at Big Ten hockey, gymnastics, softball. Like, where are the opportunities to take these sports that haven't been given a lot of value? And I don't mean value as competition. I mean financial value. And how can we sort of lean into some of those smaller sports and amplify them? Because there's a real opportunity there for us to grow something that's baked into an already existing deal.
How difficult is it to gauge what the popularity will be or the value will be without Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, look, my feeling is that Caitlin Clark is a unicorn. You know, she is a unique figure in the history of women's basketball. And when she goes to the professional level, she's going to take a little bit of interest with her, right? Like, it's probably a little bit too hopeful to expect that we're going to retain 100% of this year's interest next season. But I do think that there are enough compelling players that are coming back next year. We've got Paige Beckers in our Big East relationship. We're going to have Juju Watkins in our Big Ten relationship. I don't think that that viewership is going to go back to what it was 5 years ago pre-Caitlin Clark. I mean, I think this is a permanent resetting of interest, just maybe not quite at the high levels that we're seeing right now.
So we did a lot of work with USFL down in Birmingham, did shows around it, got to see it all firsthand. Very good product, and I know it was very beneficial for Fox. Now with the UFL, Michael, how is this partnership going to look, and what do you see with what we've already seen with spring football and what it could possibly become as the start of the season is just right around the corner?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We talk to fans year-round about every sport that we're in business with, and when we go out and talk to fans about spring football, what we have heard for the last 2 years is that there's a little bit of reluctance to invest your time and energy in spring football when you're not sure that it's going to be around forever, right? If you're a fan in San Antonio, if you're a fan in St. Louis, you've seen multiple versions of spring football come and go. And so I think the most important thing for us is to just really establish to the fans that the UFL is here to stay, right? We've merged with a great partner. What was formerly the XFL has great ownership. We have a great media partner in ABC and ESPN. And there's every reason to believe now that spring football is going to be part of the sports calendar for generations to come. So I think we have to get past that reluctance to invest in something that the fan maybe isn't sure is going to be around forever. Our intention is that it is going to be around forever. I think what we're trying to do is put the UFL on the best platforms possible, right? I'll sort of take a step back and just say that three things really drive viewership for sports, right? Who's playing? When is the game? Where can I see it? Everything else is secondary. Sometimes you get into considerations of what's the lead in, what's the competition, but everything really just comes down to who's playing, when, and where am I able to watch it? In the case of spring football, who's playing is actually the least important factor because no brand has really emerged as the standout brand yet. Over time, that will happen. But right now, all the games are kind of similar. So what we're really leaning into is how do we give people the best chance to see these games based on when and where they're available? There are going to be 43 UFL games this year, including the playoffs. 41 of those games are either on Fox broadcast or they're on ABC, or they're on the ESPN flagship network. If you were to go back last year and look at the USFL schedule and the XFL schedule, a lot of those games were on FX, they were on FS1, they were on ESPN2. We're going to elevate the league to the biggest and best platforms, put them in advantageous windows, and just make it as easy as possible for people to find the games. And if they find the games, I think they're going to be satisfied by the product. And I think over time, they're going to be convinced that this is something that's going to be around for a long time.
And we can see the games this Saturday. The season kicks off this Saturday on Fox, a doubleheader starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, following a 4 p.m. Eastern game after that one. Michael, where are we going to find Major League Baseball moving forward? It's so Chad and I had a discussion earlier, regionalized with fan bases wanting to watch their team. The national audience, how is that trending? And where will we see baseball now that we've seen a lot of the regional networks not do well, go under?
Yeah, that's a really difficult question, right? I mean, that's a serious challenge for Commissioner Manfred and his team at MLB. Just to give you some background there, some things that maybe you guys already know, Major League Baseball on the regional sports networks is incredibly popular. If you go across the, I guess it's now 27 MLB markets, 26 in the U.S., Major League Baseball on regional networks is the number one thing in primetime TV in most of those markets. Anywhere where it's not number one, it's probably number two. And so the popularity of the product isn't really in dispute. They're going to put 70 million people through the turnstiles again this year. And I think that the health of the product is as good as ever. The challenge that they face is that regional sports networks, and really all sports networks, have been subsidized for years by people who pay for a cable TV subscription, whether they watch sports or not. A lot of those people are now leaving cable TV. They're getting their entertainment through Netflix and Prime Video and any number of other streaming platforms. And so that subsidization has eroded, and it affects ESPN, affects Major League Baseball, affects our company, though maybe not to the same degree. And so that's really the puzzle that they're trying to figure out. But it's not a matter of popularity. Like, that's the good news. Yeah. You know that you've got a popular product. You know that you can deliver an audience. I think they're looking at a range of scenarios from subscription-based. I just read a story this morning about the Colorado Rockies. They may be going entirely subscription-based this year. I don't think the RSNs are in imminent danger of going away, but they do have to figure out what their future model is and how they're going to keep those games as available as possible, whether it's via streaming or maybe going back to traditional over-the-air broadcast or some kind of mix of streaming, cable, and broadcast. Clearly, I don't have a perfect answer. I think it's a really, really difficult puzzle for them to figure out, and I don't think they're going to figure it out in 2024. It's the kind of thing that's going to have to evolve over a number of years.
Yeah, it's so rare, just based on the timing of the popularity that you're mentioning, paired with the uncertainty. Normally, that's not a combo.
Yeah.
And that's what's fascinating about where we'll see MLB. Michael, always great to catch
I think
up.
It's one of
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I think it's one of the most paradoxical things in our business is that logically you think that popularity and revenue should be aligned.
Yeah.
And we're getting into circumstances now where revenue's challenged, but the popularity is actually going up. And that those are kind of the circumstances we're all doing business in.
Especially sports, which is theoretically DVR proof. You know, yeah. So the advertisers want to be a part of that live broadcast.
But costly for the providers,
no
for
doubt.
The networks.
No
too.
Doubt. Hey, thanks for the time. We always learn something and really enjoy whenever you're able to join us.
Always fun. Love joining you guys.
Yeah, man. There's Michael.
We'll make sure to have Drug Mule Talk be the lead in the next time Michael joins us, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
There's got to be another Drug Mule story out there that's going to hit the next time he joins us.
Yes, there's something. Insights and Analytics President for Fox. Wow. I mean, from the angle of what he's talking about with MLB, Chad, the idea that they know that they're trending well, but the stress level of where you're going to find your individual teams. And how
it's going to be somewhere.
What.
It's and all the, about well, how does Major League Baseball figure it out
and
to maximize
you,
revenue for themselves?
Oh, but you
while
have,
also not completely alienating all their fan bases and every, it's a
yeah,
tough balancing
but,
act.
And think about the value for the individual franchises. You know, you got the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Cubs who know their value
yep.
is here versus the Rays and what someone would be willing to pay for just those games versus. you're getting the entire package.
And I'm a Braves fan. I'm spoiled. I have DirecTV. I can go right to the regional channel on Bally Sports and watch it any night. You know, they'll open now on Friday. It was going to be Thursday, but got rain delayed to Friday against Philly. And I know that when I'm on my DirecTV on television, it'll be on the Braves game. Even if I click over and watch something on a streamer, when I X out of that, I'm right there on the Braves game. Because what do we watch on television? Live sports.
Live sports.
And as Michael said, what do we watch on streamers? Drama series, comedies, movies. But we're watching our sports on live television.
Coming up, primary complaint, and Davey Hudson gets weird. Straight ahead here on Hot Mic.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Sixth and Peabody, our location with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. Glad you're with us today. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow here at outkick.com/watch. Each week, each Wednesday, it's time for Primary Complaint.
It's time to air our top grievance of the week.
You can complain all you want.
My job is so unfulfilling.
Don't run away from your feelings.
It's time for Hot Mic's Primary Complaint.
Guys, my primary complaint this week, typically now, if you go up to a bar, if you're ordering food at walk up to the register, you want to order, you've got the option to scan the QR code or whatever, and you pull up the menu, right? Especially if you're at like a trendy place and you don't know really what they're offering on the menu. It bugs me to no end. People will wait, they'll get up there, and then they want to scan the phone and then look at the menu before ordering while everyone else is waiting in line. If you just want the menu, go up, grab the QR code, step away, and then whenever you step up, be ready to order. That's my primary complaint.
Amen, Hutton. Always be ready, especially when there's a line waiting behind you. Be courteous. Be courteous to others. That's the lesson that I have for my primary complaint today. Which is the fact that I'm driving, trying to make my daughter's play yesterday.
Oh no!
And on the way, we're gonna do a reaction shot here. I like this. You guys can be all in on this too. I want to see the looks of your faces as I say my primary complaint. Driving home, don't make the play because cops stare into my eyes, Hutton, stare into my soul as I say this. Driving home, the highway blocked by cops. Can't get to my daughter's play. Get turned around. Have to go back towards downtown. As I'm going downtown, a guy in front of me gets into a fender bender. I would describe it as a fender bender. He could have gotten off the side of the road after hitting someone, okay? Instead, he stops, parks his car in the middle of the road. As I'm trying to get him to the left to get in the turning lane, already way late, backed up in traffic with everyone else, who's had to turn around on Lebanon Road to try to go back towards downtown. And you've heard of a citizen's arrest that someone might make. This guy gets out of his car and starts trying to direct traffic around his vehicle. And he puts the stop sign up to me in my truck. And I said, no.
Excuse me,
no,
sir.
No, I did not give him the finger or anything, but I almost ran him over and drove right past him and stared him down, just like Davey and Hutton right now are staring into my eyes.
Way, look at me.
I stared at him. I even took the shades off to stare at him as I passed. And I said, bro, this is not happening. Get off to the side of the road. Your Toyota Tercel will be fine tomorrow. You can drive it over there. And I went right over to the turning lane, and I got the hell out of there. If you get in a wreck and you're able to move your car to the side of the road, get
you're
to the side of the
to
road.
Do that.
Exchange information with whoever. If you need to call a cop, you can do that. There was a little bit of debris in the road. From the lights and everything else that got smashed, whatever.
Not like he's on a scooter and
you
got
don't
hit by a
step
car.
Step out and turn into highway patrol and start trying to stop people that are trying to get on a 4-lane highway to wherever they're going. You, sir, are my primary complaint.
Yes.
It's a good primary complaint, Chad. My technique, this is something I've actually done
a lot of times, like if there's construction, I automatically know if I think I'm going to get cut off, I get in the other lane to where they have to make me go. So I will get into the other lane, like in
far lane from the accident.
Where
oncoming traffic would be if they weren't blocking it off.
We had a lane to go. They shut that lane. They moved it down. They were redirecting people through a residential area that's a circle. And the circle ended in a church parking lot where the 15 cars before me all turned right to where I was going. And by the time I got there, the car in front of me got stopped because the cop backed up the barrier to before that road where you had to go left. And he was just standing there just telling everyone to go back the other way as he blocked the entire road. I could have broken right and made it to the play in time. I didn't know.
When you looked into this man's soul as you passed him yesterday, not the man's soul that you nearly saw pass earlier when he was hit by a scooter. Yeah,
the bike messenger.
As you pulled down the glasses and you saw him, did he know what you were message you were sending?
The alpha was established. Okay. He knew. I think, in fact, he kind of like tried to push his car to the side of the road. At that point, he's like, "I've made a grave mistake. You made a huge mistake here, sir. By trying to think that you could get out of your car and stop me." He was in the turning lane as I'm going to it, stopping people, and I'm like, "Get out of the road!
Yeah.
What are you doing? Yeah. There's nothing here to stop me from going. I'm not
You're
stopping."
Going to get hit.
So you can do this. Ridiculous.
I actually have a question for the segment as a whole. Can you do something if it was a complaint that you would have loved to have gotten off your chest 15 years ago, but you didn't have the opportunity to do it then?
Oh, for sure.
It is your primary complaint.
It can happen in grade school if you want to talk about it.
I've got one I'll say for another day, okay. but this one, your story reminds me a lot of this, Chad. So where I grew up in Lenoir City, we lived across the dam, and this was just... There was one bridge, and if you weren't able to get across this bridge, you're looking 35 minutes just to get to the other side of town by going a back road. Well, one year they decided we need to do a lot of reconstruction to this bridge. And so what they ultimately did was you had to turn this bridge that was heavily trafficked down to one lane. And so to get across, what it was you would have 2 minutes before the light would change. And if whatever traffic got through for that 2 minutes... This ultimately, for about a good 6 months, made my commute an extra 45 minutes to 50 minutes each day. And it was like having to go to school, get up an extra hour. Then during the summer, it was just pretty much, how can I avoid actually having to go into town and doing anything because they set this up? The fun part was they built a new bridge 2 years later. So it just seemed like that was an entire waste of time to begin with. But on a whim, that's my primary complaint.
Yeah, well done.
We should now go back in time each week and just pick a moment in time that's a primary complaint that we'd never got to because we weren't doing this segment when it happened, and just moments in time. Starting back in elementary school, when we go to junior high and then high school and college.
Well, I can tie it in.
We can all think of something.
Anything between 7th grade and 9th grade, when you're right in the middle. It's really 6th grade, midway through the year to 8th. The most awkward phase of any person's life.
Yeah.
You just feel very weird.
7th grade was awful.
Yeah.
Awful for me.
You get the braces, you know, the face is breaking out. You feel like crap.
My school had race riots going on. I've talked about this in 7th grade. Yeah. The true story.
Didn't they all?
In suburbia. No reason to have them, but apparently our school decided to have one.
Were you like Jerry Jones showing up in the background of a photo somewhere?
Oh, no. I was hiding myself in a locker while
this was
going on.
Jim Jones.
It was 7th to 9th grade. And if you want to see the difference between a 7th and a 9th grader, you can look at me in 7th grade and look at some of the just barbarian 9th graders we had in our school that played football. And it was grown
the alpha
men
was established.
Versus me. Yeah. I didn't go through my growth spurt until 8th grade. I went from 5'6 to 6 feet between the summer between 7th and 8th grade. And then I went from 6 feet to 6'3 the next summer. I never grew again.
Everyone's most awkward face. And that's always the photo that your parents wanted to purchase for the school.
Oh, yeah.
That's always the one. That was weird.
That's
and
a bad
so
time.
Is this. It's time to Let's Get Weird with Davey Hudson.
Good segue.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, talking now.
Guys, we're starting off in North Korea. And this is something that...
We could have guessed that.
I've known before, but I've never actually seen this happen in practice. So there are a lot of things that are obviously banned in North Korea that are, you know, just common practice and things that are just typical to have. Like currently, I mean, I know I'm sitting down, but I am wearing blue jeans. And in North Korea...
Stand up, Davey.
There they are. He is wearing blue jeans.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Well done.
All right. So
good looking jeans.
In North Korea, you cannot wear denim because it is a symbol of Western imperialism. And so I was like, I get it. Like, wow. Okay, you can't import blue jeans into North Korea. That makes sense.
So what do you do?
Well,
what happens if you wear them?
You can't get them to begin with.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm assuming if you did, then that would go across. Yeah, then I mean, I'm sure you're through into whatever their version of the gulag is.
Wow.
But
Davey, let's write this comedy film of the jean making company or manufacturer and the dark web in North Korea.
We need providing jeans. The interview too is what we need.
Yes. Yeah. Could uncancel our guy also, James Franco. He's been canceled. We can get him back for this movie. Continue. Sorry.
No, it's all good. There was a tweet that went out where somebody was able to take a screenshot of what this gardening show happened to look like in North Korea, and they blurred out the jeans. So this guy's just sitting here, and the jeans are just blurred out because they don't want that symbol to go across.
That's amazing.
I guess
it looks like Tim Allen a little bit.
I mean, this originally was something that would have aired on the BBC, but
Tim the Toolman Taylor, he wore jeans all the time on that show.
It's actually a female chat.
Yeah. I think Tim the Tillman Taylor always wore jeans.
So they have to blow
out
the jeans.
That's an incredible find.
And think about the number of shows that someone would be wearing blue jeans.
Well, I mean, how many shows do they even air or show on North Korean television?
If they're airing This Old House, I mean, they're screwed. The entire screen is blurred. That's all that is denim.
They can only show things that are period pieces from the 17 and 1800s. Pre-jeans.
There's a documentary.
Pre-jeans.
How to Become a Dictator, and there's an entire episode dedicated to how North Korea, basically the Kim Jong-un and his family, ultimately took over this country. And one of the things that was crazy,
too many jeans.
What they ultimately did
was the sex and everything else. Yeah. So too many jeans on that show.
for propaganda, I think they went and kidnapped a couple of prominent Japanese like a director and. I'm going to get the story slightly wrong. I think they kidnapped this actress, and she was married to this director, and they knew that by having her, they could get him to come there. So he's pretty much there, and they just started making all these propaganda films.
Kurosawa, was that the director? That's the one famous Japanese movie director I know of.
I don't believe so. But the other things, just as far as like facts about things you can't do in North Korea, I found this one out today. Did you know that there are only 28 haircuts you can choose from in North Korea?
28 haircuts.
28 yes. Sounds like a lot to me.
Well, it's 14 men, 14 for women.
I've seen North Koreans before, and I feel like the number's more like 3.
Okay, 14 for men, 14 for women. But wouldn't the haircut also symbolize the Western
imperialism?
Well,
that why they limit it to 28?
Yeah.
I know. I don't have a photo.
No
it would be cool.
There.
You know how whenever you go to like a barber shop and they have like the different examples you could get? I wish I could find the North Korean version of that, like whenever someone's just in their version of a
here
North Korean 14, barbershop.
14 for men, though, Chad. 14 for women.
For men, I think it is. Men are not allowed to have hair that is longer than 2 inches. So I guess
you
got that. You can't use dyed hair, obviously. they just don't want it to be considered
They're
a socialist hairstyle.
They're just real classy
hairstyle.
Like the Yankees. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunch of Steinbrenners over there.
Yeah. I didn't realize George Steinbrenner took over for the emperor.
I know.
What is the North Korean dictator? What do they call him?
Supreme leader.
I've always said. So I was blanking on his title.
Oh, no. I've always said, I would rather be supreme leader of North Korea than the president of the United States.
Hank Steinbrenner also wants to go by supreme leader.
Hey, real quick, I found a quote from The Gardener that's in this photo.
Oh, yeah?
The screenshot.
What do you have
to say? So an episode previously aired where they did not blur out the jeans.
Okay.
And The Gardener,
he's
74 years old. A quote is, "I never imagined that my programs would reach North Korea, but hopefully the calming nature of British gardening would be received well there."
That's amazing.
I just think it's rather
not
nice.
Not 74 in this shot, obviously.
I'm probably 25 years behind.
I think it's rather nice that whichever country it is in the world, gardening can bring people together. There he is.
That's what's going to end a totalitarian regime. Gardening.
David Beaumont.
I love this man.
Davey, thank you.
Yes.
That was awesome.
That was great. Jeans. And the fact that...
That was one of our more productive primary complaints in Let's Get Weird ever.
I've got one more story if we
really
want to go there.
We really got to a lot there.
It's also dark and sinister.
Let's hit it tomorrow.
Okay.
Let's hit it tomorrow.
The story actually based out of Tennessee.
I think this is the perfect tease.
That is dark and sinister.
This is the perfect tease. We're going to hit this story tomorrow.
Also,
very dark and sinister.
I have hammered home the fact that who determines fashion? Think about it. The sommelier, it's all based on the palate of one person that goes back to.
It's a great question.
We have now North Korea determining fashion. No denim.
Let's make a pact right now. Let's all wear denim tomorrow to protest North Korea.
4 p.m. Eastern. Hot Mike with Huddy Withrow here at outkick.com/watch.